Fashion.
I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion.
Hey. Hello, friends. We're here again in the basement for episode 51 of The Fashion Hags.
Hi, Franz.
Hi, friends and Franz and hags and friends.
And stuff.
And dogs.
And new people, hopefully.
Sure. All you new people.
Yeah.
Maybe you're in a car. Maybe you're on a bike. Maybe you're doing the dishes. Maybe you've found an excuse to clean your apartment because that's how you do all your cleaning now is with the podcast on. That's how I do all of my cleaning.
That's how I do it. I do all of my bathroom stuff. I put on a mask. I do my hair, pedicure, whatever, man.
Like
all the dishes.
If I got a good podcast groove going, my house will be
never be spotless. Cleaner.
Ship shape. Yeah.
Never be cleaner.
I'll be cleaning stuff I didn't know needed to be cleaned. That's how I roll.
You're going to pull your fridge out and clean behind your fridge?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that might be a bit much.
I don't think I can get my fridge out of my kitchen.
Yeah, there's not that much room to move it around.
Yeah. It's a bit tight. I should pull it out. I have some good pictures that have fallen underneath. I wanted to get back.
Who knows what other goodies you'll find under there?
I bet there's money under there.
Oh, man.
I bet there's hash browns and peas and
popcorn.
Popcorn.
Popcorn kernels.
Yeah.
Like decayed.
Sugar.
Like vegetable slices and all of that.
Yeah.
Good times. Maybe a spoon.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. I am missing one of our set.
Oh, well.
Anyway.
Now you got a project for the weekend.
I guess. Podcast City! What's going on, Evan?
Oh.
What's happening?
I was just thinking, y'all are really seeing how the sausage is made. We don't really keep anything from you, dear listeners. But we only recorded,
Two
days ago. So I haven't really been up to much.
I'm going out of town,
so we got a time capsule this shit.
Yes. So.
Not much has happened since Monday.
Well, thanks again to Doug. That was awesome.
Yeah,
Doug was excellent. Doug. Very enjoyable.
Doug was great.
If you haven't listened to Doug.
Maybe you want to go to the art gallery.
Yes.
Should put that on my
I'm doing
list
all
for
kinds
weekend.
Of art galleries this weekend.
Yes. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, Culture Crawl's coming up in November.
Well, that's always fun.
Yeah. There's a big art exposition studio tour thing happens here every November in Vancouver called the East Side Culture Crawl. Is that what it's called? No.
Yeah.
I think so.
Anyway.
Or East Van, East Side.
I think there's just the culture crawl because it's expanded so far from
Sure, it's
East
not
Van.
Just in one little corner of the city now. It's all over the place. Everybody's jumping on board.
Yeah.
So it's a great place to see a bunch of independent artists, well-established artists. Anyway, maybe we could talk about that in November.
Yeah.
I just got some birthday money.
Oh, love yeah.
I find a way to spend it. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Nice.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
To think on that.
Yeah.
What do you need?
I don't need anything.
That's the thing.
Okay, well, I'm going to jump on
what do you air quotes need?
Here's what I wanted. Here's the thing. I, for my birthday, it also just arrived in the mail today. My husband got me a gift that took forever to ship from Seattle, which is so annoying.
For crying out loud.
Had to go he checked the tracking and it was 2 days after it shipped and he's in San Francisco. He's like, what the hell? Why
is this
farther away? Anyway, shipping. It's a goddamn nightmare.
The whole thing.
But he got me a glow-in-the-dark bocce set.
Oh, late-night bocce. Here we come.
He played it on a work trip. I guess they were shooting something in Tofino, and they were out on the beach. They're staying out on the beach, and with the tide out, it goes out forever and ever. So and it gets dark there pretty early, depending on what time of year they were there, which was, February or something. Anyway.
Sure.
And so one of the guys has a set of glow in the dark bocce, and he's like, it was the most fun.
Oh,
you just
that sounds
have
awesome.
A beer in your hand, and it's dark, and there's no one around, and
especially out there where it's just super flat. And
yeah, just being outside, having a drink or whatever, and in the most beautiful landscape in the whole world. And usually the problem with bocce is you start in the later afternoon, and having a drink or whatever at a barbecue or something, and then it gets dark, and then you can't play.
Not anymore.
Solved.
Yeah. So I'm really excited.
So are they like little LED balls or something?
They're like, no, they're like a full real size set.
Sure.
And they have like a screw top thing that, that you remove. Like it has quite a few little, for the listeners at home, I'm making a motion that looks like
a spiral.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the word?
It's like a little twister.
The twist thing, the screw things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that part. And it twists quite far down. So it's pretty like waterproof and jerk proof and debris proof and stuff. And like really strong and durable. But anyway, and it comes with a stack of batteries. Like they're like big watch batteries. They're like the big wide ones. They're like the size of a nickel.
Yeah.
So you stack like three of those in and then you screw them back in. And then when you want to turn the light on, there's like, you sort of need like a coin.
To
push into the slot so it doesn't turn on and off when you play.
When you're throwing them.
I know, it's really smart. Anyway, it looks
amazing.
Super fucking fun.
And it's getting dark earlier and earlier. So
I know. It's
the time of year.
We're going to play tomorrow night if we can.
So beautiful.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Oh, what a great gift.
Yeah, a really good gift. I'm really excited. He's like, I wish it had arrived, you know, not the end of the summertime.
Not 3 weeks after your birthday or whatever, 2 weeks after your birthday.
Oh, well.
Better late than never. Right.
But the other thing I was going to talk about, too, is I'm making another poncho.
Ooh.
Another bike poncho because I found this fucking awesome fabric at this secret fabric store that I'm not going to mention because it's a good secret
spot. So good.
And it's this wax canvas, this like tin cloth again, but it's like a brownish... It's going to sound weird, but it's really nice. It's like a brownish plaid.
Okay.
Which I've never seen
in a
tin cloth before. But when the light goes through it, it's like yellow and red and all this like, it's a really nice, like classic British. It's a really British looking plaid. Yeah, it's really, really nice. But it's quite dark. So I'm really, there's no reason for me to make another one, but I have this fabric and I'm going to do it. So I don't know. I might send it to my sister or something. I don't know.
We'll send her the old one.
Send it into your closet.
I know. I might go right into it. But I'm going to use it as like a costing mechanism so I can see how much.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Keeping track of how
you can make some changes.
Yeah.
And some pockets or whatever.
Yeah. It's going to be nice.
Now that you have your prototype that you've used.
Yeah. And it works really well.
Awesome.
That poncho was dope as shit.
And the rain's coming. I know. It's super hot today, but I'm sure the rain is...
fabric store. I love going into fabrics. Like the people who work at fabric stores, I think we've talked about this before, are like such a strange breed of like crafty and
nerd,
but not
retail.
Not friendly. Not helpful. They're like, they want it all for themselves.
And they also don't care what you're doing.
Don't care.
No.
Like, as soon as I'm cutting fabric next to somebody else, I want to be like, well, what are you making?
Yeah.
I want to talk. Like, what are you going to do with that? I'm curious.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they just get jaded and you just cut them fabric again and again and again. But I want to know. And they never ask me.
No, it's true. I went into the store and the guy's like, what do you want? I was like, oh, I'm looking for this and this. Like, I was looking for a couple of things. And also, I'm looking for this wax canvas. He's like, well, there's some over here. I was like, great.
Oh, okay. All right.
So he showed it to me. It was really nice. I'm like, how much is this a meter? And he's like, it's 12 a meter. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry to be getting
you
in the way.
Do you want my money or what?
It was hilarious. But every time you go in there, it's like, what? What do you want?
Now what?
Fine. Yes, it's right here.
We have it in green and black.
Okay, bye.
Or not.
Oh, boy. Oh, it makes me laugh. All fabric stores are kind of like that. They're like a little bit like possessive of everything.
Yes. Maybe,
I mean, that's a sweeping generalization, obviously, but it kind of makes me laugh that you can go into a fabric store and expect the same kind of attitude.
A lot of the time.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about about fabric, about people who get stuck working at fabric stores. But yeah, his was a particularly good example. What do you want?
Oh, man.
Like, you're running a business. What are you talking about? Anyway, I jumped on your Kiki. I'm sorry. Please, go ahead.
I honestly have been doing nothing but working my day job, going home, working some more, and watching Netflix and eating.
Although you're avoiding your house tonight. That made me laugh when we were talking about when are we going to record next?
It's the season opener for the Oilers. There's lots of hockey people at my house, and that just...
You're not so in it.
You're like, get me out of here.
I don't want to be here.
That is not my jush.
No. It doesn't get it doesn't make you jush.
No, not at all.
Well, there you go.
So I'm glad to be here talking bullshit with all you guys.
And not hiding in your room.
Yeah, exactly.
A bunch of loud
working,
people.
Working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just avoiding talking about some dumb sport you don't get.
Someone walked in and they said something about some person. I'm like, that is...
Somebody walked in and said something about some person.
They were just like, and like, it's like, it's that... like that thing that just really fucking grinds my gears. It's just like
the broiness of it all.
It's just, yeah, it's the broiness of it, and it's talking about all this stuff. I mean, I mean, people probably have the same feeling when I start talking about Chanel or something, but it's just like, this masculinity can be very, it can be an affront to my very being sometimes.
Oh, dude. Tell me
about it. It's just like, I don't know. It just reminds me of like being in school and having to listen to morons talk for years. And it's just like,
yeah. The only thing worse. Yeah. Well, actually, I don't mind watching hockey. I quite like hockey.
That's the thing. Like, if I, when I go to like a hockey game when I'm home, for, like when my cousins play hockey or whatever, it's so much
totally
fun.
Totally different. Yeah.
And it's cute, like they're younger or whatever, or if they're even like older, like a lot of my older cousins play hockey too. It's still fun to go.
Yeah.
And you can get a beer and you can
hang out, and walk around. And,
like, we went to a hockey game. Yeah. We had a great time.
We didn't even watch any hockey.
But watching it on TV just like seems like
we had French fries, we had drinks, chatted.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing worse than that is the fucking NFL. God damn it, I hate the NFL.
I hate fucking basketball. It's always one in the last 5 minutes. Just play for 5 minutes.
Right?
That's what I say. Back and forth. What are you gonna score? Like 500 times? Who cares?
same with football.
And football,
like,
is the opposite. It's just like, you're not doing anything.
The game lasts for 6 hours and there's 22 minutes of playing or some dumb fuck. Yeah. It's the dumbest. I fucking hate it.
It's an advertising dream, though.
And it's also just the broiest of bros and the most masculine of masculinities. And
the most toxic of masculinity.
The most toxic of masculinity. And also just, it's just, every way you look at it is bad. There's
pure commercialism.
Commercialism constantly. It's
violence.
Just head injury after head injury after head injury. It pays an offensively huge amount of money to people who play the game for a maximum of 10 years. And then they have a head injury, and
horrific
injuries, and then they go home and they beat their wives, and they don't pay their cheerleaders. There's just so much shit that I'm like, fuck you, NFL, I don't have time for you.
It's the most toxically masculine, but also the gayest uniform.
The gayest!
Some of them are the teams like the Cowboys that have like the silver pants. Ooh,
the Cowboys is the
lighter the pants, the more see-through they are.
And I don't even know who some of them got gold pants too. I'm all over those guys too.
Oh, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers have gold pants.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, CFL has them. Yeah, they do have the gayest.
Yeah, it's just like,
and it's all like top heavy, like super masculine, like the
big broad shoulders.
Like,
it's
like big shoulders.
Like a like statement a big shoulder. like a very fitted capri pant, like knee-high socks.
Yeah.
White socks, white shoes.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre.
And a matching hat.
And imagine, one of my most favorite things that I ever wrote for the blog, which I haven't been doing much since we've done more podcasting stuff, but I wrote a
oh my god, best, it was so good,
a best dress list for the Super Bowl. It was
classic.
One of my favorite things ever. I was so laughing great. The entire time, and I published it. I was like, I hope somebody else enjoys this because I think this is hilarious. Yes. And even if no one else thinks it's funny, I know I will.
That's
and I know
fine.
You too will.
Oh, absolutely.
It was really funny.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember just like guffawing and reading it. So good.
Yes. Absolutely. Oh, boy.
Oh, you guys. Good times. Abby, what about you? What's happening with you?
Not too much. I'm a convert to the romper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was anti-romper for a long time.
You just had the wrong one.
I just had the wrong one, and now I have two.
Did you get two?
I got this one. I have one now.
Nice.
Which is great. It's just a t-shirt one. V-neck. The V's a little deep, so I get real booby.
I like it, though. It's
yeah.
I'm just not a boob show-off. I'm just not a booby lady. If I can see the line, it's too
that's
if I can
too
see
much.
The line between my boobs, it's too much. But what do you do?
No, I like
I have
that.
Boobs. Deal with it. Newsflash. I got them. So this is just like a cotton t-shirt one. It's got pockets, short sleeves, real nice. I don't even mind taking it off essentially to pee. It's fine. And then I got another one that's a woven fabric and has thinner like spaghetti straps. And it's a little more oversized and supposed to be a little baggy and big. And it's so comfy. And I'm definitely going to be able to layer it. But it's great. Mostly just not having a waistband.
There's at least
it's so great.
There's at least 5 days a month where I wish I had five jumps. It's still there at the very minimum.
And I've come to realize now that I'm getting older, I'm not really a skirt or dress person. That's just not, it's not me. I'm not comfortable in them. It's just not how I roll. So now I'm expanding my pant repertoire, and now it includes rompers and jumpsuits.
And there's a lot of them out there right now. So you've got options.
Yeah, yes. And I feel like because...
And I won't be wearing... I don't like short ones. Like, right. Ones that have shorts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't like a summer romper. These are all pant rompers.
Yeah, fair.
That's how I'm rolling.
And things, because they're more popular, the patterns for them are getting way better in stores. And, the fit is better as well. Because before, it used to be, okay, take that pant, take that top, slap it together, mm-hmm. Bing, bang, boom.
Yeah.
You know? And people are, there's... There's a better science behind it.
Yeah, no, there's a little bit more to it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the one I'm wearing today is so soft. It's from a company called Smash and Tess. They're local. They're so nice. I'm angry to wear it because then I have to wash it and then I can't wear it until it's washed. You know? So I don't even want to wear it. That means that I can't wear it until I do laundry.
I think that's a good investment purchase. Then
good problem to have.
Yeah,
and they just came out with the long sleeve one too, and a couple different colors too. So I don't know. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
it's a good couch curler upper inner.
Well, I'm also a person as soon as I come home, I'm out of my clothes.
Yeah, I do the same. I usually change.
Especially because I have pants or jeans or something. The second I come home, I am done. Like sometimes Dave blinks and I'm already in track pants.
You're just naked.
Like, where did you go? I've barely even put the groceries down, and you are already out of your outside clothes. And those are different than my pajamas because I also then change again. They're not sleeping clothes. They're in between clothes.
I'm with you. I understand.
This is very Lady Mary of you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just for lounge dinner. Clothes.
But this I've had on all day and I didn't even change. It was so great.
Love it.
So don't even.
And I bet you could go fall asleep in it too.
Fucking yeah. Or go out to dinner. Put on some heels and a statement necklace and go out to dinner. Call
lipstick.
It a night. Yeah. Yeah.
A probably leather not, jacket. Though.
Probably just going to go to sleep.
Yeah.
I'm just going to pass out on the couch. I got a whole bunch of American history I need to catch up on. I mean, American Horror Story I need to catch up on, so we're good.
Oh, last night's was insane.
Ugh. Part of me is like, why are you watching? And then every night, every time it's on, I'm like, oh, this shit is fucked up.
Yeah.
And my husband just keeps coming in and out while I watch these American Horror Stories, and he's just like, is this what's happening now? And I'm like, yep. I'm like, you didn't even see what happened 5 minutes ago. That was way more fucked up.
I've never watched it. I've never watched them at all.
Yep, that's fine.
I might. I probably will.
Just watch the first
one. Let us know and we can... Because there's been this, what, sixth season or seventh season or something?
This is the sixth one, I think.
They're hit or miss.
All right. Got it.
First one was great, though. Horror House. That was pretty great.
Which is the hotel one? Is it just called Hotel?
Hotel.
It's called Hotel.
That one's awesome.
That's Lady Gaga?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. That intrigues me.
She was great.
I would watch... If I were you, I would watch Murder House, Asylum, Coven, and Hotel.
Coven. Oh boy. For sure, where they're all witches. Yes.
All right, I like that.
Yeah. They're badass female ladies. Female ladies. I mean, I don't know. 2017.
Biological
women. I mean, do whatever you want.
Live your life.
Be a lady. Do whatever
or not.
You want.
Or be a female lady or don't be a female lady.
Who are we to judge?
Anyway. Yeah.
Let's talk about stuff.
Yeah. Let's get to the matter at hand, which is, Catherine.
We're talking about licensing in fabric. Fabric. Good Lord.
I mean, maybe.
I mean... Fabric, fashion, you do you. Don't let me know how to tell you how to live.
It's judgment-free zone.
Let's start over. Licensing in fashion is what we're talking about.
That makes more sense.
Which is actually so insanely pervasive, especially in luxury brands, that it would
where the name is everything, right?
So basically what it is a brand will permit another company to use their logo, their trademark, or their
whatever
name generally, to make something and sell it and distribute it with that sort of on their behalf. So it's a legal agreement. And depending on how good your agreements are, they can be super beneficial. They can completely destroy your business. They can be a lot of things. But most luxury brands have licensing in some way or another. The sort of most obvious examples are sunglasses and cosmetics and timepieces.
Mm.
Most brands like Dior, for example, Dior does not make watches.
There's nobody on the design team.
There's no one in the ateliers in France making watches. There's no one in there making sunglasses.
Yeah.
They are licensed to a company. Mostly it's a company called Luxottica, to be honest.
If they're sunglasses.
Or do they do the watches, just sunglasses?
So they do sunglasses for sure.
They do sunglasses for Dior, Prada, Burberry, Tom Ford, and Chanel.
And a bunch of others, too.
To name a few of the biggest luxury brands in the world.
Yeah.
and that's it. This company has this agreement with these luxury houses where Luxottica makes them and slaps the brand name on it. And then they sell it as a Dior product or as a Chanel product or as a whatever. And it
So heads up, they're all made in the same
They're
factory,
all made in the same place. Yeah.
All the same FYI. Shit.
And they benefit both companies. In a good agreement, they'll benefit both companies because Dior, in this example, will get money for the license agreement, for the licensing, and the company,
Luxottica, will pay them a fee with the permission to use their name.
Yeah.
And then Luxottica gets money from selling.
From the selling and the distribution and stuff. So
And then Huda Dior probably gets a cut of that too.
Yeah. I mean, depending on how good your agreement is,
depending on
if you have a shit
what you lay out,
then you might get
just get your face
sweet buck off. Yeah. but it's not just things like sunglasses. It can be, it can actually be anything. It could be umbrellas,
perfume.
It can be perfume. It can be jewelry. It can be homewares. It can be ashtrays. It can be guitars. It can be towels. It can be sheets. Tommy Hilfiger does not make sheets.
Chanel doesn't make skis.
Oh, what?
Go to Gestalt and I'll argue differently.
But what about my Chanel skis?
My skis! Oh, man.
So it's a thing that you need a shitload of lawyers, basically, to get it right. But I read something that was really interesting about Tom Ford. And Tom Ford, oh, by the way, I also got a lot of this information from a Searching for Style article, which is...
Oh, marvelous.
Former guest Alexandra Sooner Eisenberg has a blog called Searching for Style. You should check that out. And also, I got a bunch of information from thefashionlaw.com.
Oh, awesome.
Some interesting stuff to say. Anyway, it can be really beneficial, but it can also be...
a bit dodgy.
Like a real... real shit. Because if you sell or if you have a license, the basic example I always think of is Roots. And Roots
Canadian or, athletic wear company. Yeah.
Or Calvin Klein might be a better example. But they had license agreements for, say, jeans, Calvin Klein jeans.
Mm-hmm.
Which Calvin Klein does, and Calvin Klein is a really interesting example of licensing gone wrong.
Mm.
But they have a license with a company whose name I can't remember. They do, it's called Warnaco, actually. And Warnaco makes their jeans, they make underwear, and they make something else, perfume. So Calvin Klein.
That's a big chunk of Calvin Klein product offering right there.
It was 90%.
Their
sales in 2014 were these licensed garments.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. According at least to the fashion law, an example that they had, $160 million.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So what was interesting about Calvin Klein is that they had this not great agreement that gave Warnaco way more control than they would have liked. Mm. So the next thing you know, Calvin Klein jeans and, you know, 12 other versions of this brand or CK or, you know, CK jeans or like whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, whatever tiny thing they want to.
There was, I think, a dozen licenses or something or trademarks or whatever that they had licensed are in like Costco. Like you could get them at Costco. Sure. Remember? Like I know I've seen stuff like that in Costco or in like some Walmart bargain or whatever, store, sure. Some Marks Work warehouse or something like that, right? And because they had a shoddy agreement with this company, I mean, it was great for Warnaco. They made fortune.
They made it work.
But it completely diminishes the brand when you're selling, on one hand, you're selling, you know, a handbag or you're selling, actually, handbag's a bad example because that might not be a thing that they're actually designing.
Sure. A dress.
Something that's going down the runway in the
that you see in a magazine.
And they...
That costs
$2,000.
Yeah.
And then you can go to Costco and you can get a pair of jeans.
$17.99. Yeah.
So it really can tarnish a brand really severely. And in their case, they actually tried to buy back, unsuccessfully, they tried to buy back their license from Warnaco. And they settled out of court, they settled like privately and confidentially, and they were actually able to buy some of it back, but not all of it.
Interesting.
But they now take on a way more active role in how the licensing
is done.
And
having a say.
Because you need a great deal. It's not just like, I mean, in a good deal, you would work it out really tightly and then you would maintain a level of control for the approval
account
of designs,
for contingencies, for future agreements.
Exactly. Yeah. Where it's getting made.
Advertising.
All that kind of stuff. So they let a bunch of that sort of slide.
Mm.
Totally came back to bite them. But like Calvin Klein underwear primarily is where they were pissed about it because they made
everywhere.
A fucking fortune and Calvin Klein is not making all of that money.
Yeah.
Warnaco
is. Everywhere.
And they're fucking everywhere. So it's a really interesting case study and how it can go really well and how it can go really wrong.
Interesting.
I also read this other interesting one about Tom Ford and let me find my notes here because it's not just a thing where it's like the trademark, it's like the intellectual property, it's the imaging, it's all of that stuff that you can kind of let someone else kind of handle.
Uh-huh. But it doesn't sound like something Tom Ford would be into.
Well, here's an example
of
how to do it well.
Here's the kicker.
When Tom Ford left Gucci with all of these contacts of people all over the world and all kinds of factories,
great licenses,
all the people that you want to know how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
When he left and started the Tom Ford label, he did not design anything. He did not design clothes. He started with two licensing agreements, one with Estee Lauder for cosmetics and perfume, and one with a company called Marcolin for eyewear.
Tom Ford glasses are a thing.
They're a thing, and they are expensive.
Yep.
And so For a piece of plastic.
A tiny piece of plastic.
But he turned this into the investment where it would build up his name and his brand. He was a known dude, obviously.
Yeah, he was already a thing. Yeah.
By getting him in like the makeup counters and the cosmetics floor with eyewear and with cosmetics.
Yeah.
He became more familiar to those shoppers who were buying those other higher end
and being
brands
around the name.
At a way cheaper price point than the shit that he's going to send down the runway a few years later.
Yep.
And he oversaw all of the advertising, like all of that, all of the images and imagery he had to approve. So he did it real, real smart.
Interesting.
He actually didn't design any clothing for his own line
for a
couple of years.
Huh.
It started with two licensing agreements.
Making money.
Just make money. And he knew all the right people from Gucci. Everybody knew who
and
he
knew
was.
Him.
He came from Gucci.
Yeah.
He had just left Gucci.
A trusted entity by then.
Yeah. Right. And so people would assume, this is Tom Ford. It must be
legit.
His new line.
Yeah.
There were no clothes. It was just those two.
Wow.
Which is like, sounds like a little shady, but it's fucking genius. It's
that cunning motherfucker.
Right? And now he makes a dress for, you know, $6,000.
Oh, man, even more.
At least, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought that was cool.
He's one of the most expensive brands out there.
Literally. I know. Yeah.
I know. So I wonder now how much of his stuff that like when you go to, you know, Bergdorf and see what's there.
The new Tom Ford perfume.
Came out of his brain or how much of it
didn't. Although his perfumes are really good.
Are they?
They're amazing. Ashley.
Well, now they have to be now that he's created
this whole
this
mystique
brand
around the
and
brand.
This mystique yeah. And, yeah.
But they're like
they're building off each other, right?
Whenever like I've went with Ashley when she's bought some, and we, me and V, former guest, we bought some for her before. And every time I go to like the Tom Ford counter, they're always like, "Oh, this perfume is like five times as concentrated with like essential ingredients than other perfumes." Like. Everything else is like half water, pretty much. When
yeah,
you buy
yeah, yeah.
It.
Well, it's perfume is like another super... thing where like there's like one fucking factory in France that makes everything.
Everyone. Most yeah, most luxury brands have it made somewhere.
Yeah,
Chanel is the exception. Chanel still makes their own perfume. The Coco
interesting,
because
I guess
it's, five,
it, that's kind of part of their core brand, isn't it? Is the some of those is, scents?
Yeah,
right?
The Chanel number five. But I. As far as searching for style goes, and there's a couple other articles that she links, so check that link out. But yeah, Chanel still makes their own perfume in house, and most of the other ones do not. But they'll send like, you know, people from their team.
Sure,
the
they're
noses.
Not.
Yeah. Like their concept.
And they're not going out there and just doing whatever the fuck they want. They still have,
yeah,
at that level with that amount of money in play.
Yeah, which is where Calvin Klein fucked up.
Yes, so people can learn from Calvin Klein's mistakes.
But I always think about the Roots example too, because, and maybe it's just not, it might not be known to our US listeners, sorry, but there's, like if you get a nice Roots leather bag or a nice Roots pack or something, mm-hmm. it's really nice quality leather. It's made in Toronto. It's Italian leather. They're gorgeous. You just got one.
Belt's fantastic. Still holding my pants up. It's great.
I've had a leather wallet from Roots forever. I have my purse, my go-to like,
yeah,
carry bag. All, toss it in a bag, purses, Roots. But they've licensed their name. Not not exactly the right logo. It's like a slightly different version, but the name is the same to some, you know,
some other
shit
company.
And they make the worst
in Bangladesh
ugliest,
or something.
Horrible
yeah.
backpacks and like travel luggage, but it's cheap shit
the
that
same.
You'll find at some, you know, corner store. Or you'll find it in the
duty
you know,
free
in the Sears. It's now
sure some random you know souvenir store or something.
Yeah, so it's like oh, well, this piece of shit backpack is a piece of shit compared to this really nice one that I have from Roots
from
that
the store.
Me, you know, $200 or whatever.
Yeah.
So that I bags and packs and stuff is always that's where my eye always goes to. I'm always a bag shopper. I'm interested in that.
Yeah.
I love an
stuff.
Accessory.
I love an accessory. So that example always sort of stands out like, well, this piece of garbage. And there's tons and tons and tons of examples of that. And then,
I mean,
you could get into the whole counterfeit thing, which is a whole other podcast, but it's an interesting.
We have not talked about counterfeiting. We should talk about counterfeiting another time.
We'll do that
another
time.
Add that to my list.
Add to the list, yeah. But it's neat that, I mean, it's interesting to see how pervasive. Basically, the first floor of a department store is all licensed.
Yeah.
It's all licensing.
Cosmetics, perfume.
Accessories, lots of times.
Yeah.
Umbrellas. And then you can go to like, you know, the Versace home store. Chances are Donatella's not designing that shit, no. You know? All that
maybe
stuff.
Maybe she goes to a meeting twice a year to be like, yes, no, yes, no.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe.
No, yeah. Even then, or somebody from her team does.
Yeah.
Well, remember a few years ago, fucking Burberry plaid everywhere? They stopped making the plaid.
Yeah.
Burberry stopped making their plaid.
When they and
because
was,
it got crazy.
That was another example in here that they talked about was they because it was crazy and it was everywhere.
And
there
it was everywhere.
Like chocolate teddy bears covered in plaid foil kind of shit.
Yeah. And just slapped
so,
it on.
Yeah, when they sort of got rid of their old team or got rid of the head.
Because they've gone in a very different direction. They've changed their name. They've changed their look. They've changed the brand.
The first thing they did when they started those changes was buy back all those licenses.
Yeah.
They bought
rid of that.
Almost all of them back, like 300 or something.
So pretty much anything that came out with Burberry plaid is
for,
not.
Within a few number of years,
yeah.
It probably had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I have a vintage Burberry, quote unquote.
Sure, and they were all lined
It's from Lane Bryant.
Mm. Oh, yeah, sure.
Burberry for Lane Bryant. So I guess that was like a license probably. Or it might have been maybe not Lane Bryant, but some other like older department store from the States.
Yeah,
I really
probably.
Can't remember what it is.
But it would be like you know, not Tom Ford, like Ralph Lauren for the Bay or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Oh, it was like, Lane Crawford. That
okay.
was like that was what it was.
But yeah, I wonder how, like, yeah, I don't know. I wonder how, like, diffusion lines, because I know Ralph Lauren has, like, fucking 18 labels. Purple label, black label, RRL, R317, Ralph Lauren jeans, rugby. Like, he's got a bunch of other things, mm-hmm. and I'm sure they're all different price points. They're all sold at different places. He can't physically be doing all of it, so I'm sure they're all just licensed out and you just slap whatever label on whatever in some factory somewhere, and boom, all of a sudden, you're RRL.
Yeah.
And the one next to you is Ralph Lauren, but it's the fucking same.
Yeah. Or it's
a rugby shirt.
Price, a different price, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And probably made under different factory conditions.
Yeah.
But maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah.
Maybe it was exactly the same thing.
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
There you go. Get some investigative journalism in there and see what happens.
Guess who started it? Guess who's the first guy to do it?
I don't know.
Dior.
Oh.
Was it the perfumes?
No, it was hosiery.
Oh.
In the U.S. I guess that's such a specialized product, in the 40s. Too.
Yeah, in the 1940s, he started licensing to a company in the States to develop, like, a license or a hosiery kind of, not brand, but, like, just a hosiery licensing program, essentially.
Yeah.
And it was really successful. So they added neckties the following year under Dior.
Yeah.
And within 3 years, all the other couture houses were doing the same thing. So we have Dior to thank for that. Isn't that strange? I would never have guessed that Dior would have been the first
and
guy to do it.
And pantyhose, too. A million years. Maybe just because people don't wear pantyhose anymore that much.
I have
that
a vintage Dior tie, and now it doesn't have, like,
now it's tainted.
the same like, mystique about it.
Well, we can talk about that, too, like how that can damage its allure.
Exactly.
And its value.
That happened with Pierre Cardin.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they discussed that in the Valentino documentary,
yep.
The Last Emperor, how Valentino had sold all these licenses for his company, and it was, like, basically
did you get Valentino sunglasses and a bunch of jeans and stuff? Mm-hmm. And yeah, absolutely.
And this was, like, in the early 80s when all the licensing
went crazy.
Yeah.
And then Kathy Horn.
Because Pierre Cardin was a big deal and was a peer of, like, these big designers back then.
And then you could suddenly buy, like, a $10 belt at, like,
who knows where.
Like, the duty-free. Or some garbage something.
Mm.
And it completely tanked the brand. And still now, people, you hear Pierre Cardin, it doesn't have the same
ring
to the average person. Unless you know anything about the fashion, the history behind the company.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it's a risky.
It can cut both ways.
Affair.
Yeah, because you can make huge revenue streams from it, but if you go too wide or too different, or you know,
or if you just don't have a really tight rein,
if you don't have a handle on it,
starts to go away from, like, the identity of your company and doesn't line up with the values and the quality of what you're known for.
Because anytime there's a chance to make a buck, people will chase it.
Oh, yeah.
People will take it. So if you don't have one of these licensing agreements that's ironclad, people will find a loophole or a vault, or, you know, like, an area that hasn't been explored yet. And
the whole thing is, like, it sort of gives access to new markets without having to do all the legwork.
Yeah.
But again, that's a double-edged sword. Like, do you want to have your Dior line,
your HSN whatever. Shopping network version of whatever,
is that something that is worth it for your bottom line, or do you want to maintain this sort of allure of luxury and exclusivity? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And nowadays, I mean, in a lot of cases, that exclusivity is meaningless, but also more meaningful than ever at the same time, because they want the world markets opening up. More people have these things. There are more rich people in the world than ever before that can buy them. But they still have to be able to maintain a certain level of that aspirational exclusivity.
Well, right? Which is why the perfume and the cosmetics that's where all the money is made.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's something that people can afford.
And it's not expensive. There's the overhead on that is so little compared to designing and selling a fashion line of clothing to send down the runway. It's a fraction. And if you can pay somebody else to make it and pay somebody else to sell it, you're
going nuts.
You're laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
Until they turn around and sell it to Walmart and sell it to Target and sell it to Costco.
Yeah, because like the person that you're licensing to doesn't have anything to lose by taking your name and dragging it through the mud and making a buttload of money.
No, they're just cashing their checks.
Yeah. As long as legally they can do it, or they have,
they're within the parameters decided by.
Yeah, exactly. Then
they're really
they
really good
do
at
that.
Finding that loophole.
Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't say a dog couldn't wear it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no rule, nothing in the rule book saying a dog can't wear it.
That was a good spy. That episode spy. That was a good
listen to some podcast yourself. It's great. Oh man.
So brand dilution is what it's called if it goes kind of backwards, but because it's
like brand dissolution.
Dilution.
Dilution.
It dilutes.
There we go.
Dilutes the,
oh, I like
the
that. It's like a Tom Ford perfume as opposed to like CK1.
Yeah, except that Tom Ford is still licensed.
Yeah. But
it's like a Chanel perfume.
It's a difference between a good license and a bad one.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, most of what Joe Blows are buying with the brand name on it is licensed. Yeah.
Does Chanel own their cosmetics? Like, is a Chanel lipstick like part of like a factory for Chanel?
Probably.
Because I feel like Dior also owns their cosmetics.
They might.
They have like a factory or something. I've seen like.
Huh. They might.
Yeah.
They very well may.
At that top level,
like
they might
thing.
Be.
Who knows?
But like, I don't know if like Marc Jacobs does.
No, I think Estee Lauder owns the Marc Jacobs friend thing.
I think Estee Lauder owns it.
They probably own, yeah.
Like Victoria Beckham, owns Estee Lauder. Or no, Victoria Beckham's cosmetics are made by Estee Lauder.
Victoria Beckham has cosmetics?
Yeah.
News to me.
They'd actually probably really work for you with your coloring. I've watched the beauty bloggers like
dark hair, dark eyes, pale skin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have like the same complexion as Victoria Beckham.
Yes, there we go.
So yeah, but people who have like olive skin tones, they've found that it makes them look chalky.
No bueno.
Which is no good for me.
Mm-mm. You gotta get on that Fenty shit.
I have to get on that Fenty. Can we talk about, that's a hell of a license.
Oh, shit.
The Fenty beauty.
Man, she is a laughing.
To the bank.
But she is also, like, doing it
she
for the
is
sisters.
A license.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she, I mean, of
she's
course
gonna
she's
going to
make
it.
A fucking fortune on this.
Yep.
But she is making so many people happy by extending this
of what
this
she's
line.
Offering. Yeah.
Basically, if you guys are not familiar, most foundation makeup lines will have what, maybe a dozen, 15 shades?
If that.
If that.
One will be for a non-white person?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
And Rihanna's Fenty makeup is 40 shades. So the darkest of dark skins and the palest of pale skins.
And everything in between and every combination.
So there's girls who have never been able to wear foundation or find the right shade of
straight out of a bottle, right?
Straight out, who can now.
I wonder what percentage of the population of people who wear foundation have always had to mix colors, you know?
Probably
Or not 50? Not worn it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just worn
fucked.
Something that's lighter or darker and then
it doesn't
it
work.
Highlighter.
Yeah. Or not even. Yeah.
Or just
or have
given
just
up.
Been, yeah. Yeah, just
not even tried.
Not trying, yeah. Like, I have a weird skin tone because it's like pink and yellow and dark. Like, I'm kind of like this weird shade and I end up looking like chalky and really pale or...
Because you're not particularly dark.
No, I'm not dark, but I have like this kind of olivey, warm skin tone, but it's also really rosy and pale. Mm, it's really weird.
There you go.
I just say it's yellowy. That's just that's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah, but not in like a jaundiced way.
No. but then again, I can get a foundation that makes me look jaundiced or I look chalky because it's too pale.
Yeah.
And
well, you gotta get on.
I need to get onto that Fenty.
Yeah. Give that a whirl.
Yeah.
I just don't even bother.
I just don't. I always just go for literally the lightest. Maybe the one that's a little bit like the second lightest that's a little bit more pink. It's like whatever. What do you got? What do you got that's like Casper? That's me.
We were Casper,
but like
Snow White,
like apricot, maybe a little rose, maybe. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
I don't think I've bought foundation since I was 17 years old.
Yeah, and you probably bought the wrong one.
It must be great to have
for sure.
Skin perfect hair.
One of the reasons I stopped buying foundation is because I put foundation on one time and my mom stop me on my way out the door, and she's like, "Honey, you gotta blend. You gotta learn how to blend."
Oh,
okay. With the reed.
Yeah,
Nancy's on it.
That's probably the last time I wore foundation.
But you've got all those lovely freckles. You wouldn't want to cover them up.
Anyway. I know, yeah. That was right? The thing. You can't do it with freckles.
Nope.
But I'm pretty lucky with skin, so I'm not complaining.
There you go. That worked out.
Yeah,
it worked out for you.
There's one more thing I wanted to mention. We're having a sports heavy episode.
Because we're real sport heads.
We're hella sporty around here. Wine ball, you sporty guys, spice. Is catching on.
Wine ball!
I played wine ball tonight with Chris. It was chocolate milk. No wine, chocolate milk. It was good.
Ooh, it got mixing
intense.
It up.
It got really intense.
Nice.
It was a good game. But sports licensing.
Oh, I bet that's a whole thing too.
Is a fucking $1 billion.
It's a joke.
It is.
It's so crazy.
$14.66 billion in 2016, I think.
Holy fuck.
On apparel. Merchandise and apparel.
Just.
That's not equipment.
That's not like yeah. Plates, equipment. Mugs.
It's not.
Fucking bobbleheads.
It's not tickets to games.
Yeah.
It is apparel, footwear, video games, homewares, accessories, toys, jerseys, hats, tracksuits, coffee cups, like you name yeah. It. You, and it's so if you want to make a shitload of money, slap a fucking sports logo on it because you're already talking to an interested clientele.
Customer.
Your yes, customer absolutely. Is already
exists,
interested.
Well established. You know where they are. You know how they shop, how much money they shop, yada, yada, yada.
Anytime a sports team wants to make a bit of dough, all they have to do is introduce a warm-up jersey.
Issue a new fucking whatever.
Change the logo a little bit. Issue yeah. A new...
Also, how many times have the Canucks changed their stupid logo?
But also, the names of players change every goddamn time. Season. That's yeah. Another one. Get a jersey with a different person's name on it. That's yeah. A $70 purchase mm-hmm. For a piece of shit polyester jersey. It's crazy how much money there is in this. So the Major League Baseball, NFL, the NBA, and the NHL. NHL is like not as big of a deal as the other ones.
Sure.
MLB, NFL, and NBA. Also, I got this information from an article on the Sports Licensing and Tailgate Show in Las Vegas.
Fun.
It was like a news article about, it was basically a report, a sales report on the industry for this huge trade show.
Oh, wow.
Which sounds like my biggest fucking nightmare to go to. Can you imagine?
Trade show and sports.
Going to Vegas for a trade show
about sports.
About sports stuff. Clothes.
Yeah.
Oh. Not even sports. The sports. You don't even get to watch the game.
I'm getting a rash from all the polyester right now.
But it's all shapes and sizes. There's no, it's men, women, children of every age, ages,
every part of the country.
Every part of the country. Every
demographic.
Every time price, you can't think
economic
of,
level.
Well, even like gifts. Like you can't think of something to get for your, you know, your friend's boyfriend for his birthday. Oh, he likes the Canucks. Get him a fucking mug. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
It's a $6 mug, whoever.
What, I mean, chain, go nuts.
Yeah, exactly. Like that shit. It there's literally customers in all walks of life for that. Whether they are buying it for themselves or they're buying it for someone else, it's an obscene amount of money that can go into this industry. And I just read this thing in this article. There, this like gave me chills. But they were talking about how female customers are they want to target and get more of their female.
I'm
customers.
Already feeling the vomit rise in my throat
For sports merchandise. So it's not, they've really like done lots of research and stuff, and it's not just about making it pink.
Oh, just make it pink. It's fine.
Which is just make gross. Just make it pink and also don't buy it because it's garbage. It's so gross. But anyway, there was this whole thing about how they were, instead of just making it pink, these companies are now trying to teach these female customers of like how to incorporate it into their wardrobe and how to wear it in a casual way. And it's like,
I'm going to need new eyeballs.
These ones are broken.
I'm sorry. They just rolled back into my head.
I just tried to put myself in the shoes of not even like a fly on the wall at this trade show talking about how they're trying to make essentially pink jersey, maybe it's not pink this time, it's purple, but it still has a Canucks logo on it. How to incorporate that into your wardrobe? And I was like, I have to stop reading this article. This is too much for me. Don't.
Flames coming
the
up.
Way is
side
to,
of my face.
Don't. The way is don't do it.
I need to disengage.
Oh, boy.
I know. I thought you guys would like that. It made me shudder when I was reading about it. No offense to those girls who like to go to a sports game and wear a jersey, wear your, you know, show your color, show your pride. Cool, wear it to the sports
game. Talking about the way that these companies are then addressing you as customers and humans.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, you don't even need to like know the rules, right? To wear the jersey. You can just wear it. It's cute, right?
It's cute. Your husband loves it.
Well, didn't Alyssa Milano come out a few years ago with like a, she had a line of like sports clothing for ladies, because it was like, and like a woman's cut t-shirt, and it was like groundbreaking that a woman didn't just have to buy a man's t-shirt if she was a Cavaliers fan or whatever.
Yeah.
Can't believe I pulled that name out of my patoot, but
name the sport.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Is it a real team?
I think this is basketball.
No, fuck,
maybe.
Fuck if I
Isn't
know.
That who LeBron plays for? I don't know.
Cleveland Cavaliers. Yes, it's a base. It's
the Louisiana Lampshades.
Louisiana Lampshades. Yeah.
But now there's like actually like clothing cut
for
a
woman. Yeah, I mean
groundbreaking.
Oh, who would have thought? The other thing that always fucking pisses me off about that stuff is like, oh, we have the pink shirts for Breast Cancer Awareness Day. Everybody gets a pink one. Although players are warming up in a pink jersey.
Pink shoes.
No, shove that pink shit up your ass and go and actually donate.
Take that money that you're using to produce all of that apparel and
blow it out your ass.
And give the 0.001% of the money that's actually going to the cause.
Yeah, if you want to fork over $25 for a t-shirt to go to breast cancer awareness, just cut through the shit and having to throw out a shitty t-shirt in 2 months and just donate $25 to your local cancer agency.
Or how much take all the money better. You're already making on all the other fucking bullshit you're making and just donate 100% of the proceeds.
What?
And then you get the stupid fucking shirt and the charity money. Because I bet the companies can afford to do that with this kind of money being thrown around.
That's crazy.
Oh, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, but
I know
that'll
the sports
happen.
The sports thing, this licensing and the amount of money that, and it's not something that we ever talk about.
No, it's just outside of our sphere of interest.
I can't think of expertise. The last time
it's just one of those things that the more you peel back the layers, the scarier it gets.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Just like it seems like inconspicuous on the top layer, and then I just keep going down. It's just like, okay, misogyny, toxic masculinity.
Gotcha.
Oh, okay. I'm just gonna not peel back anymore.
Oh,
yeah. Definitely. Mm. But I thought it was an interesting
that is very
thing to bring up because, I mean, I don't give a shit about it, but it is a
apparently a lot of people do
massive part. And anytime you're buying a patch or a keychain or a something,
the little flag you hang off your car.
Yeah. I fucking hate those things. But just know that that's a shitload of money that's going to some company. They're just pocketing it. It's just going into someone's pocket, and they're preying on you being a fan of
their organization.
I think of some people I know who are diehard Calgary Flames fans, mm-hmm. and the amount of money that they have spent and
given to that organization,
on that
excluding
just
tickets,
blows my mind.
Yeah,
it blows my mind. And yeah, and you love it, and that's cool, and that's your thing. That's one of the things that makes you cool. Great, go for it. How many, you know, $80 jerseys do
over
you need?
Lifetime.
How many do you need?
Yeah.
It just is a strange little nugget of the industry that we don't talk about very often because we don't know.
I don't care.
Yeah. But it's obviously huge and it matters a lot to a lot of people.
You know what? I'm going to go back to my house after this. I'm sure the game is still on. Who the hell knows? How long does a hockey take?
I don't know. 3 hours.
But like,
how long is a hockey?
Just
Google,
like, and, like,
how long
look
is
at,
a
like,
hockey?
The hockey man goes around for like, I don't know, 2 hours?
Yeah. And just like look at the quality of all of the gear these people are wearing. Like, is it worth like the $80 price tag?
Well, and there's a big difference between the stuff you get at the team store and then the stuff that you get in the souvenir shops in Chinatown, right? That I'm sure are various levels of legitimate.
The thing is, I don't know how much of a difference there is on some of that stuff. Yeah. Some of the stuff in the team store is nice. Like the other...
Like the jerseys. Like if you get a real game style like jersey certified. That's like robust or like yeah. a fucking mesh, like sport yeah. mesh.
Slapped from together. Like
Walmart. Yeah.
That's right. been, you know...
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But as far as like a t-shirt, it's probably basically the same.
Track pants.
The other thing that is an interesting sort of side of this is... One of my favorite kind of classic articles of clothing is like the college, like bomber style college jacket, which yeah. I don't have any. Like, I don't think I would feel weird wearing one.
Yeah.
But I love that.
Like a varsity jacket?
Yeah, like a varsity yeah. jacket. And they're quite popular right now.
Yeah.
But that's college. That's college football too. So college yeah, football.
That's a whole other
thing. And college
thing.
Sport is a whole other thing where it's a way tighter community because it's way smaller. More local and it's a history that is way more, you know, it's the guys that you go and you see, you know, at the grocery store, those guys are playing.
It's your friend's son. Yeah, it's your
exactly,
whatever.
Exactly.
It's your cousin.
So that I think is another level of
the
like,
NCAA
there's
cool, stuff.
There's a cool
NCAA basketball is a huge deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even thinking worldwide. You're thinking just North America.
No, no.
Look at all the soccer stuff worldwide, too, right? That's yep. insane. And the jerseys and the cleats and the fucking socks. And
I didn't oh dig God, into too much in everything
were
else.
Like that, oh, boy. That David Beckham jersey in like mm-hmm. the 2000s, early
For
2000s.
Sure. How many fucking Barcelona jerseys are there out there with the red and blue stripes? Uh-huh. You know?
I wonder how many people wearing those know that that's from a soccer team.
Exactly. Maybe so that's why Versace ripped off the Canucks logo.
Getting in on that sweet sports
that sweet
merchandise.
Sports money.
what do we call it? Brand dilution? That's what's
brand
happening.
Dilution.
Brand dilution, yeah. But anyway, it's sort of a different side of the licensing thing that obviously is a huge part of the industry. But
yeah.
I was like, we're never going to talk it about sports. Here's yeah. a way that we could do it that's kind of funny.
Look at us. Make it happen. Look at us.
Louisiana so
sporty.
Talk about the clothes.
But what are they wearing?
But what?
That's what we talked about when we went to the hockey game.
Exactly. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Anyway, not to be disregarded, I think, that side of things. And it's fucking everywhere. Yeah. Like, just take a look. I can always tell when a hockey game is happening.
Oh, for sure.
In town because there's
everybody's got the gear on.
Every time the new captain or new player, you know, makes a... Some great play or some dumb shit. He's the new favorite. Everybody gets a new jersey with his name on the back and
taken over.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's bizarre to me.
Yes, exactly. To the people in this room.
For a lot of people, it's their everyday
totally
clothes.
Totally normal. Yeah, I'm going to wear a yes. hat shaped like a big block of cheese and what?
And it's minus 35. I don't care.
It's got ear flaps. It's fine.
Oh my God.
I think Evan has to get up and leave the room after this conversation.
Oh boy, we need to get Chaser. Go watch some Chanel or something.
Yeah.
Like
that.
Yeah. Well, how about we obsess?
Let's
yeah.
do it.
Let's have a break.
Let's
we'll
do
come
that.
Back. Hey, there we go.
Hey.
What's happening? We're back.
And we're back.
Yup, 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 yup.
I just got the new operating system for my phone, and I'm fucking pissed about the podcast part. Sucks.
I've been ignoring that little update notification.
I ignored it for so long and then I was like, ugh, fine. But I'm mad. I'm regretting it.
Yeah, ugh. Well.
It's lame bullshit.
What are you gonna do?
If it's not broke, don't fucking fix it. Anyway, I'll stop swearing.
Not likely.
What are you obsessed with, Abby?
I am obsessed, and I have been. I've been a fan of this lady's work for a while now, but I just follow her on Instagram, and I actually started like looking into her recently.
Is it me?
Oh no, looking into you recently.
You've been following me around.
Oops, it's supposed to be stealth, not working out. Dang it. No, this lady. I'm probably gonna say her name wrong now. Zaria Foreman. Zaria, I'm guessing, Z-A-R-I-A, or Z-A-R-I-A for all you fucking Americans out there, in case you didn't understand that. She is an artist, and she works namely in pastel, mostly in pastels, like pastel chalk-ish. And she does the most unbelievable, like, photorealistic, large-scale pieces of water and ice.
What?
It's insane. I think she's Zaria Lynn on Instagram.
Sculptures?
No, paintings. Or not paintings, drawings, I guess. And she does them all by hand, because it's all pastel chalk, so she does it by hand. She puts on, like, rubber gloves and just blends it all with her hands. And she does, like, she's also a climate change activist.
Oh, cool.
So she does a lot of, all of her work is bringing attention to climate change and the polar ice caps melting. And, like, she's been to Antarctica with NASA and traveled all around the world. And she does these big, huge paintings. They're 20 feet by 15 feet or something of a giant iceberg.
They're freaking gorgeous.
Or just like water lapping at the shore, or just waves, undulating waves. That it's unbelievable.
God, I want one of these. Her in my stuff. House. They are.
I'm sure you can get a print of it. So yeah, she's a lady. I forget where she's from, but she works at it. She works in Brooklyn or something now. She has a studio there, and you can buy prints and stuff. And it's like unbelievable. And I've started watching these like time lapse videos of her. Like, she takes a month to do one of these pieces, and it's like a 7-minute video of a time lapse of her.
I love those.
And it's like, it's not even like she'll do all the, she'll do a base and then she'll do that, like, no, she starts in one corner and works her way across the whole thing, and then it's done. Like, she doesn't go back and add as she goes. Like, she just does it all.
It's done. Wow.
And it's insane.
They are gorgeous.
It's unbelievable. It's crazy to think that they're drawings.
Hella photorealistic.
Yeah.
And water is one of the, and ice and like, there's like one of the hardest things to draw.
Yeah, you meant, you know, as or translate. Subject. I thought you meant as like a medium. I was like, what the
no.
Hell are you talking about? These are fucking amazing.
Her website's great. She's done a lot of interviews and stuff about climate change. She's very vocal about that sort of thing. She's got exhibitions and she's traveled. She's done like the backgrounds for a ballet. She's done like some of her artwork's been on House of Cards as like a piece on the set and ooh, stuff. Like she's getting out there and getting her message out. And she has a super interesting TED Talk.
Oh, cool.
So, Zaria Foreman.
Oh, they are amazing. Yeah, Zara Lynn. Zaria Lynn on
Instagram. That's where I forget how I found her, but I found her a couple years ago on there. And then just in the past, I don't know, a month or so, been watching these like time lapse videos and stuff. Crazy.
When you said pastel, beautiful. I was like, meh. And then I'm like, oh my God, these are unbelievable.
It's outstanding. And it's all like whites and grays and blues and that. Yeah, that's it.
They're amazing. Wow. Cool. Good one.
Insane. So that's me. What about you, Evan? What do you got?
I have been waiting forever to get this book. I've been looking for it everywhere, at all the local bookstores. But I finally just pulled the plug and got it on Amazon. And it shipped in so, like, 4 days.
Oh, great. Well, there you go.
Love it. Got it this morning, or got it when I got back from work, and I tore through, like, half of it. It's a book of poetry called Hashtag Indian Love Poems by Tennille Campbell. I discovered her on this podcast called New Fire from CBC, and it's interviewing Indigenous artists and youth in particular on different topics. And she was on one about creativity and like reclaiming Indigenous sexuality and all these things, wonderful things. And her poems are just so... There's this perfect blend of lyricism and native humor and all of this imagery and stuff that I can remember from my childhood. And
but those are pretty sexy.
And they're very sexy. Like, oh God, I can probably, let me just find one that's suitable enough for the podcast.
Well, your parameters are pretty wide, my friend.
Quite.
I know, we even talked about sports today. I think there's nothing off limits today.
Oh, boy. But the cover art is beautiful, so too. Beautiful. Like, yeah, and she's a photographer as well, and that's like
I think I follow her on Instagram too.
It's Sweet Moon Photo.
I forget how I came, or maybe through Indigenous Fashion Week or something. Like I came across it or something.
I posted one of her poems on the Evan Disharm Studio Instagram.
Maybe that's what it was.
The day before the show or the day of the show or something. And it's just like, it's making it, I'm not going to do it justice. I'll pull it up. But anyway, it's just so good. And like, there's something in it that really reminds me of the rhythm of Maya Angelou's poetry, which we all know I'm obsessed with.
That you're super into.
Super into. And it's almost like these poems were written for me. It's just like experiences of dating white men and experiences of like being obsessed with someone when you were younger and knowing that it's never going to happen. And like, I don't know. It's just really beautiful. And it's just giving me some life.
Where's she from?
Giving me some energy. She's Cree Dene from Alberta. Let me get to the bio. I want to get her nation and her location right. Very important for us native folk. She's a Dene and Métis author from English River First Nation in Northern Saskatchewan. She has an MFA in creative writing, or she's just recently completed an MFA in creative writing at UBC and is taking her fourth year of PhD studies in Indigenous literature at the University of Saskatchewan.
She's a smart lady.
Smart lady.
She's cleaning up.
So yeah, I just want to give some power to these wonderful Native folk who are taking up space in higher education.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Love
very,
it.
Very cool.
Love it.
Yeah, super the cool. Cover art is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Your Instagram feed's awesome. From what?
Yeah, at Sweet Moon Photo on Instagram if you want to see some of more of her work. She periodically posts like new work on her Instagram. Most of her poems are quite short. But there's just like such high, very high impact. I don't know, the one
and
that I shared,
and sexy
funny and sexy and dirty and raunchy and like that perfect, like irreverent native humor that is very difficult to describe unless you
I took a class when I was in university about native literature and native books and stuff. And the word that kept coming up was ribald, which is like sexually funny and irreverent.
Yeah.
But like,
that's exactly
but
it.
Like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, not graphic, but like, yeah, maybe graphic.
Well, graphic, but like, there's honest? Also like, it's very honest.
Coarsely, vulgarly, or lewdly amusing, referring to sexual matters in a rude or irreverent way.
Yes. I went to, a couple weeks back, I went to...
it's not a word you hear often, but no. It was one of the only contexts I ever heard. Ribald. That I heard
I
it in.
I love that word.
There you go. Now you know. You can file it away with Tennille Campbell.
Yeah. But there's a really good example of that in this poem that I heard a recitation of at an event a couple months back, where basically the story was this woman was sitting with all of her aunties and they were talking and they're talking in traditional language. And she said the poem first in her traditional language and then again in English. And when you hear... When she did the English translation, it was so funny because to think of like these Indigenous languages as like so foreign and old and not evolved. And of course,
sure.
primitive.
Whatever. Yeah.
And then hearing how like raunchy and dirty and funny and modern this poem was in English. Basically, the joke was she's sitting with her aunties and they're saying inappropriate things and then they're all laughing and she asks them what they're saying and she's like, "You know you've had a good weekend when it's Sunday night and you throw your panties at the wall and they stick."
Oh, man. Oh, boy.
Just so good.
Great. It is ancient, beautiful, needs to be a preserved language of our ancestors. And
exactly.
Yeah, throw your sticky panties at the wall. That's hilarious. That's awesome.
And the whole poem at the beginning of the poem is her waxing profound about listening to her aunties talking in their language and laughing and
connecting
and making bannock and blah blah blah, and then it ends with that statement, and it's just so good because it's just
awesome.
Showing like the humanity and
sure, it's something
the necessity
never changed
behind it. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
And so being good. Human is universal and timeless.
Yeah.
You know,
And so is sex and sexuality and body
humor,
yeah. bodily
and humor.
Everything. Yeah.
yeah,
yeah. Oh, that's good.
I like oh, that's that. Awesome.
Love it.
Well, on that note, I thought mine was going to be like, I mean, it is super lowbrow and it is like, you know, dick jokes and crude. Mm. So this has been a good transition.
Yes. Yeah.
But I just, Chris and I just started watching Big Mouth on Netflix.
Ah, yes.
We were talking about it the other day. It's Nick Kroll's. Nick Kroll and John Mulaney are the two stars, but it's Nick Kroll's new cartoon show on Netflix. And it's about puberty. It's about going through puberty and getting your
awkward
period.
13-year-olds
having
or whatever.
Boners and dealing with boners and boner time and hormones. And there's these, there's two hormone monsters. There's a lady monster who is voiced by Maya Rudolph, and she's fucking hilarious. And there's a dude monster who's, I don't know who voices him, but it is not for everyone, for sure. It is very crude. In the first 5 minutes of the show, you see a full-on cartoon penis with pubes. So just be aware this up. Is what you're walking into. But it is
it like comically
hilarious.
Drawn or is it very...
It's comically drawn.
Love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's nothing funnier than a penis.
Oh,
they just look dumb.
It's a very strange thing.
The monster, the guy hormone monster who like just is a bad influence in everybody's ears, like, like what hormones sure. do? They're
yeah. super creepy
and
weird.
Yeah. He has a collection of dicks of little like they're little furry penises. He's all furry and they like inch away like caterpillars. It's so funny. Like, Chris and I have been laughing as hard as we've been laughing at anything at this show.
Excellent.
It is truly not for everyone. So, like, you know, full disclosure, you might not enjoy it, but it is.
If you have
a sick sense of humor and you like a good dick joke.
If you love the irreverent.
Fucking hilarious. When they were talking about this girl getting her period for the first time, I was like, yes, this is life. This is it. And you never see shit like that on TV. It does not happen in the way that it's like, it's not honest or direct. And this is both of those things. It is so funny. We are thoroughly enjoying it.
Beautiful. Must investigate.
Yeah. Also, Nick Kroll has been doing on Instagram, he's been doing a Puerto Rico, like a challenge to raise money for Puerto Rico. And so he has a hashtag called PuberMe. And it's basically a challenge to people, whoever puts, I think it's Stephen Colbert actually is doing
it
as well.
Yeah, they did it, yeah.
And whoever.
Stephen Colbert's paying for it too, maybe.
Yeah, I think
anyway.
They're splitting it. I think yeah. they're combining it all and whatever, sending donations. But
There's
been some great ones. But it's basically a call for celebrities to put pictures of themselves from puberty.
When they just look terrible.
And they look terrible and hilarious and awkward. And it was like pre-digital photography too, so these are like old school photo, like there's no filters,
it's
that's
like
just what
Weird
the film
Al
like.
Or whatever. Yeah,
totally. So there's all these hashtags under there are all these hilarious images under PuberMe, and it's for Puerto Rico relief, so check that out. And if you want to donate to the Puerto Rico, throw some money down there. God knows their president isn't doing anything about it, but that's another story.
Oh boy.
But anyway, it's hysterical, and his Instagram is really funny too.
Beautiful. Yeah,
you want 25 minutes of dick jokes? This is for
Go
you.
Go for it.
It's really, really funny.
Sometimes I do. Why, yes, please.
Yes, I do.
Sign me up.
Yeah, it was good. It's a good one.
Beautiful.
We really rounded out the.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Kind of covered all your bases.
High art, climate change, some nice sexuality and some humanity and love and just some straight up dick jokes.
Some cartoon penises.
We got it all covered.
That's why you come to the Fashion Hags.
Yes.
This is real life.
This is real life.
Awesome. Well.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome. The next episode you're going to hear is me coming back from my crazy adventure in South America.
So
I'm
so excited.
And report. I'm going to take
you don't have yellow
very
fever.
Graphic notes on fashion.
It's going to be good.
I have to see.
I'm looking forward to it. I know we're going to be on hiatus. Not hiatus, but it's
for us.
For us, it'll be a while. Yeah.
And when we come back, it'll be our 2-year hagiversary.
I know.
So, wow, that's so crazy. That'll be good.
We'll have to think of something really good.
Maybe we'll wear hats.
Oh!
Maybe we'll do something visual that doesn't have any impact on any of you.
Sounds great.
Oh, you guys, we're going to look good for this podcast.
We're not taking any pictures.
None. Visualize. It's all in your minds.
Beautiful.
Free your mind.
So thanks for listening, you guys.
You can find us in all the usual places. Yeah,
thanks for all the emails.
We've had a few. We've had some shout-outs. We've had some tags. This is great. I'm very excited. We love it.
Don't forget
never
to
enough.
Listen, rate, or review on iTunes.
Yes, please.
Y'all felt really strongly about that deconstructed top that we posted the other day.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that was...
We might have to do some more field reporting like that, because that was nice. Ooh,
that's my favorite.
Yes.
It was funny. I was in Topshop the other day, and I was walking through, and I'm looking, like, I need, like, a black top. Yeah. I don't care if it's a t-shirt. I don't care if it's a blouse. I don't care if it's a sweater. I just wanted something nice, multi-purpose, nothing.
No.
Nothing. I don't know what is going on with fashion right now. The summer was fucking crazy. There was nothing to buy for me.
No, I didn't buy anything. I bought one striped t-shirt.
And
the high neck thing I'm into, but beyond that, forget it.
Man, it's just been crazy. So I'm interested to see what the next season's going to be like, because fashion was a fucking shit show.
Really,
I guess we got
down.
The Crocs coming in spring, so there's that. We've also been posting all the Crocsanity. But anyway, check out our Instagram, because we're going to be doing more of that.
Yeah,
I found some like fun fur Barbarella Miu Miu boots. Might be posting those later. We'll see.
Yeah, my sister was in town. We played our favorite game, which is find the most expensive shoes at Nordstrom's. And they were on the top of the list. Yeah, those Miu Miu ones.
Anyway.
It's a fun
game.
We're
very entertaining on social media. You should look into it.
You guys are really good at lots of things.
Yes.
But you guys got to know, first and foremost, that we love you.
But we love you too more.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye.
Bye. Fashion.